Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Willkommen zur 144. Ausgabe von Funpod, sagt Michael. Die australische Routengängerin, Filmerin und Buchautorin Elena Moore hat schon vor rund 30 Jahren damit begonnen, die Ansätze der Permakultur, um eine spirituelle Komponente zu erweitern und den Garten zu einem harmonischen Ort zu machen, der nicht nur nützlich ist, sondern in dem man sich auch ganz einfach wohlfühlt. Die Permakultur als Gartenbaumethode beschäftigt sich ja unter anderem damit, Energien wie Licht und Wärme optimal zu verwerten. Und da liegt es nahe, auch die Nutzung der subtileren Energien in der Natur zum Methodenkoffer der Permakultur hinzuzufügen. Damit stößt Elena Moore bei den orthodoxen Permakulturisten allerdings auf heftigen Widerstand. In ihrer Arbeit geht es beispielsweise darum, im Garten geeignete Plätze für einen Komposthaufen oder einen Bienenstock zu finden oder Pflanzen mit Energietürmen in ihrem Wachstum zu unterstützen. Diese Energietürme sind Rohre von ca. 10 cm Durchmesser und 1 bis 3 Metern Höhe, die mit zerkleinertem Basalt gefüllt werden. Basalt ist paramagnetisch und man weiß, dass Pflanzen in der Nähe von paramagnetischem Gestein besser wachsen. Unser Gespräch haben wir auf Englisch geführt und da ich finde, dass Elena gut zu verstehen ist, habe ich es auch nicht übersetzt.
Okay, my name is Elena Moore. I come from Australia. I'm also living part of the time in Ireland and I hope to be moving there in 2015. I've been teaching for 30 years the art of dowsing and helping people to develop their intuitive senses and to apply that for creating better harmony around them. I've also had a parallel interest in permaculture, gardening, and got very inspired from since 1987 on that, and also had a great love of writing. So eventually I've put all these things together and now I show people how to create better harmony in their gardens with the energies and also to use that in permaculture design, though I have received a lot of resistance from the orthodox permaculture people. But I think the time has come for more spiritual elements to come into the permaculture design because people are craving deeper meaning in their life and the world is a bleak place and society seems to be heading in very crazy directions. So I think we can find great comfort and joy in our own backyards as well as big vegetables.
Mm-hmm. You learned permaculture first the orthodox way with Bill Mollison and David Holmgren.
Well, I had various teachers. I did a proper design course, I was about 25 years ago, with Jude and Michelle Fonton, who were began the Seed Savers Network in Australia. And they were always great inspiration to me. I'd see them at festivals, and for instance, and Michelle is a passionate Frenchman and be saying, don't worry about all that other stuff, just save the seeds. So I had inspiring teachers and I lived close to where Bill Mollison was and now I live close to where David Holmgren and his family live. So I continue to receive inspiration from them, but as far as I'm concerned, they're sort of still in the orthodox mode, but a lot of people appreciate the idea of creating a spiritual dimension to permaculture. So I've written a few books on these types of subjects to help share these ideas, because the proof of the pudding is that when you put all these things together, you do end up with a more joyful life, a more interesting garden, and a fascinating learning curve experience. Mm-hmm. There's always something new and exciting you can learn in nature, just in a small park or in the local area. You don't really have to go to special places. You don't really have to travel to the pyramids in Giza to experience the sacred. The sacred is a state of mind that we can bring to any place and that we can reconnect with that thing that was obvious to everybody in the past. Maybe it was 2,000 odd years ago when it started to become marginalised by Orthodox religion, but coming from Australia, the Aboriginal culture is still very rich and alive in many parts, though of course many Aboriginal people have a more modern, sterile approach. But the traditional Aboriginal culture is also a great strength today, and that incorporates that deep wisdom and knowing, the actual spiritual reality of nature and how we fit into that, because we are spiritual beings. The earth is a spiritual being. The nature is full of spiritual energy and intelligence. And by recognizing that which all people recognized in the past, I think we find a great wealth in the land. And it's been a constant source of joy for me, and I like to inspire that in others too. So,
But you also do something very practical, what is reflected in your book about Stone Age farming. You found some new methods which are not part of Orthodox permaculture.
Yes, I didn't discover them, but I've put them together into the permaculture framework and shown people how they can map out landscapes and find the energetic patterns that are inherent in those landscapes, and then to use them, the tool of geomancy, to develop those landscapes along more spiritual and energetic lines. Mm-hmm. Because one of the great practices in permaculture is the harnessing of the energies of a place. Mm-hmm. So if we consider that the subtle energies are just another aspect of all the energies of a place that we can use, then there are many benefits from using those subtle energy patterns that we find, those lines and points and fields of energy that are all around us. And some lines of energy, for instance, are the best positions for the compost heap or the beehive, because the energies of what other people might call a geopathic zone, something that might make people sick if they were to sleep on that energy, well, that energy could be enlivening for the bees or the compost microorganisms, and they can help them to break down the waste materials or to create more honey, or certain plants will actually thrive better in those zones than in a energetically neutral zone. So for me it seemed like an innocent type of development to add these ancient wisdoms, which are still relevant today. I thought, well, this is another tool that we can add to the permaculture toolkit. And yet I was surprised to get quite a lot of resistance from people in permaculture who want to turn it into a almost religion that could only be done in a certain way. Well, mm-hmm. It doesn't seem right to think on those in that way.
Mm-hmm. One example of what you introduced are power towers. Could you describe them and how you found them?
Yes, it was thanks to the visit of an American professor, Phil Callahan. He came out to Australia in 1993. And he told us about his discoveries that were inspired by the Irish Round Tower, which was an ancient form of architecture built around 1,000 years ago, and there's about 75 of them still standing, though mostly half broken down now. He was very knowledgeable about radio, and he knew a good antenna when he saw one. So the Irish Round Tower, to him, looked like a gigantic antenna. So he created an instrument that could measure the energy field which is around them. He was not a dowser, and I'm a dowser, so for me it's very simple to get my simple pendulum, which is a stone on a string, and to measure the energy field which is around these power towers, these Irish towers which inspired the power towers. So we make a very small version of the Irish Tower. It may only be 1 or 2 or 3 meters high. And when we do it with intention and love of the earth, we find that we get actually a far better energy field resulting from that than what Callaghan discovered around the Irish towers. So it was a great chance discovery that he made, and it was great for me as well, because it was the beginning of my love affair with Ireland, which is the home of my ancestors and will become my home. I've spent some time there, and I'm married to an Irishman now, and I think I'll be building a few power towers there. But to describe them on a simple basis, some people call them a paramagnetic antenna. So it's an antenna-shaped structure built out of a paramagnetic material. Paramagnetic being a substance which has a weak attraction to a magnet. And Callaghan made a little machine to measure that, but it's just as easy to swing a stone on a rock, on a string, my pendulum, and to find out whether the energy is strong or medium or weak or whatever. So I'm able to measure those energies, and it's always good to measure if you're doing energy work so you know if you are making an effect. And as a result of placing these antennas or power towers on certain energetic structures, being a downward vortex of energy, we seem to be collecting magnetism with them. They act as a waveguide for magnetism from the sun, as Callaghan told us. He also talked about Schumann resonance, and he said they had to be a certain height, and he had various rules around how they should be working. But just from the practice of doing it, I found that actually they work even when they're very small, and that the most powerful aspect of them is our own intentions of what we're thinking and doing when we're making them. And that will then result in this very enhanced energy field of a greater, stronger magnetism around them. Magnetism is nature's natural biological stimulus. So it's well known that microbes get very excited around a magnet. So the magnet itself is too strong. So a paramagnetic substance is a weak stimulation. And otherwise we all get very hyperactive. And I know, because I've experimented a lot. It's all experimental. And I've been too hyperactive and workaholic, and I like to relax sometimes. So previously I had a couple of hectares of land, and I had 4 power towers, and it was way too much. And I could just never rested. So now I have more balance and more space and less power towers.
Can you describe them in detail? What material do you use?
Well, usually I'm building them when I'm teaching people, and then they go off and make their own, because I like to empower people to do it themselves. I know in the past there's been some people who are self-styled experts, and they didn't really know anything. They were getting people to put them in the wrong location. I mentioned the downward vortex. It was hilarious. They that come from the Northern Hemisphere, and they were putting them on an upward vortex because they said it must be the opposite because they're on the Southern Hemisphere. As a result, the energy was horrible. Normally, if you put the tower on the downward vortex, the magnetism is pulled down from the atmosphere down into the soil, and you get a very nice effect that feels very good. So when I'm teaching, I just do the fastest method, and that is to get a plastic pipe. It doesn't sound great, but it works. Sort of pipe that you might be running rainwater from your roof down. It's maybe 100 millimetres across. And filling that up with crushed basalt stone. Basalt being the most commonest stone that is associated with volcanic activity. So the basalt is great, and when you crush it, it's the energy of it is increased. So the crushed basalt is a real powerhouse of energy and a huge array of minerals and trace elements. So it's one of the best things to incorporate into the soil as well. So when people combine the spreading of the crushed basalt into their garden soil, and they put the power tower, the pipe filled with the crushed basalt, and just with a lid on top to keep the rain out, they're getting fantastic growth enhancement, more crops, healthier crops, animals are getting more vitality, and they feel quite energized and happy.
Do the slugs also get stronger?
Well, that is possible, because I haven't been doing many in Ireland where we have gigantic slugs and lots of them. I found a new technique of gardening in a bucket with a reservoir of water in the bottom, so you don't have to water them very often. And I've been putting copper bands around the bucket to stop the slugs from climbing up. And I've got huge loads of lettuces and delicious salad vegetables growing in them in Ireland. And generally the slugs don't crawl over the copper tape, but some of them have been because the temptation is huge. They're very tasty lettuces. But it's a very simple structure, and some people like to complicate it. I mean, you can put a nice top on it. You could put a basalt stone or a terracotta pot, because terracotta itself is a paramagnetic material, the red clay, and when it's baked, it's even stronger. And some people even make a portable power tower with the upside-down terracotta pot stacked together, starting with the big one and going up to a small one. So there are various ways of doing it, as described in my book, and I hope that will get translated into German before too long, because it's something very simple that people can do, and I love to empower people to find out these things for themselves, to train themselves how to use pendulum or rods in the dowsing method, and to find the best locations, to always ask, is it okay, and to use an ethical approach, but to empower themselves to do that, because these so-called experts in Australia did a terrible job. There were some huge towers with several tons of material in them, and they're in the wrong location. The farmers were unhappy, and one of them was suing this person. And it just goes to show it's better to do something for yourself, and you know, don't trust the so-called experts. Don't trust me. Do it yourself. It's all experimental.
Okay. You said that you will move to Ireland next year. So
yes.
I hope we have the chance to visit your classes here in Germany.
Yes, hopefully I'll come to Germany more often, because this is actually my first teaching trip. And the reception has been fantastic, because German people appreciate good quality information, and they know a good thing when they hear about it. So I think there's a lot of power towers to be made in Germany, because anything that reduces chemical use is good in my books. Mm-hmm. The the strengthening of the plants that happens with the basalt is great. I mean, they're more resistant to the insect attack, and that's the best way to approach the problem of insect and slug problems and snail problems is to have very vital, strong plants, because slugs really only clean up the plants that are finished or sick or dying, and they're just there to clean up the mess. And when you realize that and you have the healthy plants, you see that they're very selective in what they eat, and usually they're leaving the good stuff alone. Or you can plant enough and say, well, okay, you can have a certain percentage, that's okay. Because if you bring love into the garden, I think that's probably one of the most important things you can do. And so you've got to love the slugs and the snails. They have their job to do. And you can't get rid of them usually. But I suppose if you have a lot of chickens, you can turn them into chicken food. There's always a solution. I mean, the Bill Mollison solution was a classic one. He used to say, you don't have a slug problem, you have a duck deficiency.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.
Neue Ideen für alle. Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Solarkocher und Elektroautos. Veränderungen unterstützen. Für eure Mithilfe via Flatter auf www.sunpod.de danken wir. Wir freuen uns über jeden Kommentar zum Interview. Schreibt uns bitte, was ihr denkt. Danke.